The following recording is a presentation of the Berean Baptist Church of Rohnert Park, California, and of Pastor Val Mark Smith. We are an independent Baptist congregation committed to the accurate presentation of the historical doctrines of the faith. We welcome your visit to our services anytime here in the Rohnert Park area.
Take your Bibles. Let's turn to John chapter 6. We started this morning talking about little as much was the theme of my message today, and I used the time this morning to talk about how though we may feel like we're insignificant, though we may feel like we are of little purpose to God, little as much. We don't need to have a lot to offer God. I know people over the years that have done little to nothing for God because they say, well, I just don't have anything to offer God in the way of personality or in the way of talents or anything like that. I really don't have anything to offer God. And I just want to tell you, God doesn't need you to have talents. God doesn't need you to have great ability. He just needs you to want to serve Him. He just needs a willing heart. That's all He needs. We focused our attention this morning on a little maid in 2 Kings chapter 5. We saw the Bible called her, referred to her as a little maid, just a little girl who virtually had nothing to offer God. She had no hope. She had no possessions. She had nothing. But she did have three things that we saw. She had contentment. She learned, even though she was going through hardships in life, that she trusted and loved the Lord. And she had great contentment. And God used that. And we saw that she had great compassion. She had so much love for even for those that had enslaved her, even for those that held her in bonds and forced her to be in a place she didn't want to be and away from those that she loved and wanted to be with. Even those people she loved, she showed great compassion, true compassion. And we saw that she had commitment. That she committed her love and she committed her life. She periled her own life to help Naaman. And we looked at these things this morning, and I hope that in that you saw that we don't have to have a lot to offer God for Him to use us. That we don't have to have a lot of value that we can bring to the party, so to speak, for God to use us to do great things. He just needs someone that has love in their heart and that has a willingness and a desire to serve. Excuse me. So now tonight, I want to look at another seemingly insignificant person. I want to look at someone that if we were looking out amongst the crowd for someone to save the day, probably this is someone we wouldn't really think a lot about. But yet in Scripture we see that this person God used to do great things. So look with me at John chapter 6, if you would, and let me read. I'm going to read all the way through verse 13. So let's read together. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, There is a lad here, which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men that sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to His disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Let's pray. Lord, we stand before you tonight in humility. Lord, we don't understand why you love us, because we're not lovable. Father, we don't understand why you were willing to sacrifice your own life for us, because we're just not worth it. But Father, we know that you do love us, and we know that you do value us. So we just praise you. We just thank you. We don't question your motives. We don't question anything. We just give thanks. And we worship you tonight for your majesty and your power. And now I pray that you will instruct us from your word. Teach us things tonight that will make us better servants, better husbands, better fathers, mothers, wives, better children to our parents. Just bless us, we pray tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We see here in verse number 9 that Andrew said there is a lad here. Now this morning we talked about a little maid. And tonight we're going to look at this little lad, this small lad, just this little boy. Now the Bible tells us here that he had 5 barley loaves, but I want you to understand, this wasn't loaves of bread like you think. Maybe if you go to the market and you buy these nice long loaves of bread, you see them there, they're so good, aren't they? There's a little store. My mother-in-law used to tell me about how her and my father-in-law, every time they would come back from visiting, my wife and I, they would stop at this little bakery and they would buy this fresh, hot French bread. And oh, there's nothing much better than good French bread. And you take that bread when it's hot, especially if you have butter. Oh, you take that butter and that butter hits that bread and it just liquefies instantly. And oh, that is so good. And she said they would buy that bread and they would eat it all before they got home. And I always thought, why didn't you buy one for me on the way in to visit me? Why did you have to wait till you were heading home to buy it? But this wasn't those types of bread. These were basically little dinner rolls. Just 5 little dinner rolls and 2 small fishes. The Bible goes the extra mile to make sure that it says small fish, not big fish. Might have been just 2 little sardines. 2 little fish might have fit right in the palm of that little boy's hand. And these little 5 loaves of bread. That's what he had. And that's all there was present among 5,000 people. And the Lord, what I love, the Lord says, and it says in verse 6 that the Lord already knew what he was going to do. The Lord already knew that day that little boy would be there. And the Lord already knew that that little boy was going to give him what he had. And the Lord already knew what he was going to do with what that little boy gave him. You see, this isn't a happenstance. This isn't something that just happened because the Lord was clever and was able to pull this all together. No, this was all already in the mind of Christ. He already knew all of this was going to happen. And when you sit at home, or when you sit in your office, or when you sit somewhere and you think, I'm totally useless to God, I'm so insignificant, God would never use me, let me tell you, God already has a plan. He already has a purpose, and it involves you. And he wants to use you, and he wants to do great things through you. The only thing that hinders it is us. Our own lack of trust in the Lord, our own lack of submission keeps God from being able to do the things he wants to do with us. I mentioned earlier, I don't know why God ever saved me. I wouldn't have saved someone like me. I'm amazed to this day. I'm still amazed that I get to stand in a place like this and do what I do, because I was a mean, cruel, hateful, hurtful person. I would just as soon tell you off as look at you. And God was so gracious to me. He saved my soul. And he took a worthless person. Listen, I was so shy when I was a kid. I'm serious. I was so shy and such an introvert. This is such an unnatural thing for me. When my relatives would come visit at home, I'd go run in the bathroom and shut the door and lock it and hide. Because I didn't want to have to talk to anyone. I didn't want to have to interact with anyone. For me to stand here like this in front of you and do the things that the Lord has given me to do is as unnatural. It's so unnatural to me. It just couldn't be further from my normal self. I know some people talk because they just love to hear their own voice, but that's not me. But God uses us. He'll use you. He uses me. He uses everyone. He can use the youngest person in this room. He can go over to the skipper's class, pioneer class, and take my little, how old is he? 19 months? A 20-month-old grandson, and do great things through that boy if he chose to, because God is great and he's powerful, and all he needs from us is willingness. I've heard it said the greatest ability is dependability. And the best thing you and I can offer to God is our hearts and our lives. Don't have to be talented. We don't have to possess anything. We just give what we are to God and allow Him to take charge of it. So tonight I want to look at this little lad. And there are three things I want to talk about. There are three attributes that I want us to look at tonight that caused the Lord to use this young man in such a powerful way. Number one, I want to say this, and there's no PowerPoint tonight. We're going to do this old school, the old way. So get your Bibles, so get ready to turn to some scriptures. And I should have brought a bag of candy. We could have a Bible drill, and the first person to find it, jump up, and I throw them a candy bar, and they read the scripture, but we won't do that. Teenagers used to like that when I did that in Sunday school, but we won't do that tonight. But number one, I want you to note that this young man was in the right place. He was in the right place. He was following the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in order to be in the number, he had to be there, right? I mean, Andrew didn't come back running in from town saying, "Hey, Lord, I found a boy in town that has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. No, the boy was right there. He was already there. He was present. He was following the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in the right place. He could have been off playing. He could have been off with his friends somewhere else, as I'm sure many other children were, involved in their own little activities, involved in their own little lives. But he was following the Lord Jesus Christ. He chose to follow Jesus. Truly, one of the greatest things that we can teach our children is to follow the Lord, to be in the house of the Lord when the word of the Lord is being preached. He was in the right place. Now, I do want to establish something tonight, and that is that there is a place we need to be. There is a right place. There is a wrong place, but we're not going to worry about the wrong place tonight. We're going to talk about the right place. I want you to take your Bibles with me, and let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17 together. 1 Kings, it's right after the book of 2 Samuel, 1 Kings. And we're going to go to chapter number 17. Now, this is a very well-known story. Every Sunday school student, every child that's been through Sunday school has heard this story. 1 Kings chapter 17, we find that Elijah has just pronounced a famine upon the land. And King Ahab, the wicked King Ahab and Jezebel, he's just announced that God is bringing a famine upon the land, a drought. Now I want us to pick up there. Let's look at verse number 1. It says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, unto Elijah, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. What's that next word? There. Now, I want you to understand, had Elijah not obeyed the Lord and gone there, Elijah would have been in the same condition everyone else was in. He'd have had no water, and he'd have had no food. But the Lord told him, you go there to this specific place, and Elijah, I will make sure you have water, and I will send the ravens, that's important, the ravens to feed thee there. Why is that important? Because ravens are what? They're scavengers. They're carnivores. They're going to eat anything they find. Can you picture these ravens flying in with a rabbit in their mouth, in their beak, or maybe some good food to eat? They're flying along and they're cross-eyed looking at this thing. But the Lord says, No. You bring that to my servant. You bring that to Elijah. That's for Elijah, not for you. For Elijah. I imagine if that raven has a mind to think, he's probably saying, boy, I hope he's not there. I hope he's not there. I hope he's not there. But Elijah was there. And the ravens came and they laid the food and they flew away. And the brook, the water ran through the brook, and Elijah ate to his fill morning, noon, and night. And the Lord cared and provided for Elijah there. There was a place for Elijah to be. It was specific. Now, consider this little lad. There was also a place for him to be. He could have been anywhere, but the right place was where? In the presence of Jesus. And that lad chose to be there. So he made a right choice. He chose to be in the right place. Every day of our lives, we make choices. When I taught our teenagers in high school, and I used to always tell them, for every choice we make, there's a consequence. And every time you come to a place to make a choice, you have a choice to do the right thing or the wrong thing. And if you do the right thing, praise the Lord, but guess what? That choice is going to lead you to another choice. And when you get to that other choice, again, there's going to be a right choice and a wrong choice. So do you understand life is made up of what? Choices. We make decisions. We make choices. And every choice has a consequence. It might be good or it might be bad. You know what's wrong with our society today? We want to make our choices, but we don't want to take accountability for the bad ones. We want to make our choices, and we want to have our free love, and we want to have all these things. But when that choice ends in an unexpected child, what do we want to do as a society? We don't want that consequence, so we want to do away with it. We want to murder that baby. We want to commit abortion, kill it, huh? See, life is a matter of choices. This young boy made a choice. He chose to be in the right place. What about you and I? Do we find ourselves in life in the right place? Or do we find ourselves sometimes in the wrong place? Tonight, there's a right place for us to be. And that is in the place of fellowship and blessing with the Lord. Yes, there is a physical place we should be here at church. There are many churches in this area. Christians should be worshiping their Lord in church, yes. But the place I'm really talking about tonight is not a physical building. It's are we right with the Lord in our hearts? Are we in the right place of fellowship tonight with Christ, our Lord? In 2 Corinthians chapter 16, we read, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you will be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Our place is to be in fellowship with the Lord, but we cannot be in fellowship with the Lord if we are in fellowship with this world. You see, my wife, she's kind of stubborn about this. She doesn't want me with any other women. Isn't that unreasonable? No, of course it's not unreasonable. My wife doesn't want me fellowshipping with another woman. Right? If I did that, I couldn't remain in fellowship with her. Well, the Lord is a jealous God, and He doesn't want us fellowshipping with the world. The Bible tells us in James chapter 4 and verse 4, ye are adulterers and adulteresses. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I read this verse to someone once and they almost went into a panic. They said, what? I never heard that. They were shocked. You see, James called us an adulterer or an adulteress because we are in fellowship with this world when we belong to the Lord. You don't have a right to choose because you belong to God. He purchased you. He bought you with His own blood. And you don't have a right to make a choice. The choice is the Lord's, and He has taught us, and He has instructed to us what we are to do and what we are to be, and we're to be in the right place. We're to be in fellowship with Him. This small lad, he was in the right place. He was at the feet of Jesus. But then secondly tonight, I also want us to see something else, and that is he had the right priorities. Not only was he in the right place, but he had the right priorities. Now, it would have been very easy for this lad to look at his five little buns, his five little rolls, and his two little fishes, and look at 5,000 people. It would have been real easy for him to rationalize in his mind that this isn't going to work. We couldn't break this bread down small enough to even give 5,000 people even a speck of it. But he didn't do that. It would have been easy for him to decide to be selfish and to refuse the request of the Lord to give him those breads and fishes and to go away in selfishness and say, no, I'm going to take care of myself and everybody else can figure out how to take care of themselves. He didn't do that. I'm even sure that no one would have blamed him for doing that. I'm sure any one of the 5,000 people there would have looked at the boy and said, no, son, don't feel bad about that. Go on over there and eat your bread and fish. They wouldn't have begrudged him that. But he didn't do that. In fact, the scripture doesn't tell us either way, but I would venture to guess that he was happy to give his bread and fish to Jesus. I would imagine it gave him joy to take the little bit he had and offer it to the Lord and say, Father, take what I have and use it as you see fit. Now, let's go back to the situation for Elijah for a moment. As would happen, Guess what the brook did? It dried up. Yeah. Hadn't been rained for years. That little brook quit bubbling. And it dried up. And the ravens stopped coming. Well, has God forsaken Elijah? It would seem so. Some might say, well, the Lord forsook him. He got tired of taking care of him. So he forsook him, but we know that's not the case. But let's look at Let's go ahead back to there. Now let's look at verse 5. It says, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came again unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And I want you to pay attention to what that there. The Lord said, I have commanded a widow woman there. Now let's look at verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the city, gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord God, thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Now, I don't even know where to start with this. There are so many lessons to be taught from the passages that I've read tonight. I could go in hundreds of different directions and preach for hours. And some of you probably think I will. But what I want to say here is this. This woman, as that lad, had the right priorities. I mean, social convention would certainly agree that this widow should have told Elijah to take a long walk off a short pier. In fact, social convention would also support this small lad refusing the request of the Lord for his five loaves and two fishes. I mean, imagine the nerve of Elijah. There's a widow here. She has no husband. She has but a small boy. So she doesn't have anyone to take care of her. There were no welfare systems in these days. Families took care of their own widows and widowers. She had no one to take care of her. There was a famine on. There was no food. There was no water. She had just enough flour and just enough oil to make one small little cake. And her son were going to sit down and they were going to eat that cake and then they were going to wait to die because they had nothing left. And Elijah says, make one for me first. Now, she knew who Elijah was. I mean, Elijah was a pretty renowned man in the area. He was a prophet of God, and certainly most people knew who Elijah was. So she knew that Elijah was the man of God. And if you remember, the Bible says that the Lord had commanded her to sustain him. Now, that's not to say the Lord had openly commanded her, but he communed with her in her heart. She was a woman who had her priorities right. God was first in her life. So she was going to obey God, and the Lord knew this. And the Lord is going to sustain Elijah by using this widow. You see, he's going to bless Elijah while he's blessing her. And this is exactly where we see this little boy. The Lord is looking at 5,000 people, and he doesn't need 5,000 loaves of bread. Actually, he didn't need any bread. Do you understand that? The Lord could have taken rocks off the ground and turned them into bread. He doesn't need anything, but he wanted to bless this boy. And this boy, he knew that in his heart, this boy loved him. So the Lord says, I'm going to use you to bless them. And that is going to bless you. Do you understand what I'm talking about tonight? James said, ye ask and have not because ye ask amiss. You know, so many of us, and when I talk about blessing, let me make it clear. I'm not talking about material things. I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about property. I'm not talking about real estate. When I'm talking about God blessing you, I'm talking about the blessings that come to the heart and mind and soul of the child of God. Do you know there's nothing more valuable than that? All the gold in the world can't buy the blessings of God. This little boy, he's in the right place. The Lord looks at him and he's there where he ought to be. And he's got the right priorities. The Lord is first in his life, above everything else. And God is saying, you know what? You are such a blessing. I love you so much. I'm going to bless you. But what I'm going to do is use you to bless all these people. I'm going to use you to bless them. I'm going to take these five little cakes you have and these two little bitty pieces of fish, and I'm going to feed 5,000 people with that. Is this entering into your mind and heart? Do you understand? Do you see the glory in this? Do you see the power in this? Here's this little widow. She's about to die. And for the remainder of the time that Elijah dwelt with her in this famine, this little widow went to that vessel of flour, and she scraped out just enough flour every day. And she squeezed just enough oil out of that oil bag every day to feed Elijah and herself and her son. And it did not run out. You'd say, well, that defies the laws of physics. That's not possible. With God, all things are possible. And God blessed Elijah through this little widow woman who had nothing to give. She had just enough flour and just enough oil to make one cake. And three people feasted off that one cake for quite a while. God doesn't need a lot. Little is much. But this little boy, he had the right priorities. He had the right priorities. This lad gladly gave what he had unto the Lord, just as the widow would not withhold her life's substance from God. But tonight, many fail to obey the Lord. Many fail to trust him. Many fail to make him the priority in their life. But what about you tonight? On your list of priorities, where does God rest? Well, I'm pretty sure probably in our hearts and minds, and I have no reason to doubt, all of us would put God right at the top. But do we demonstrate that by the decisions we make? Do we demonstrate that God is first in our life by our behavior, by our mannerism, by our walk, by our testimony? Do we demonstrate by giving God what we have and depending on him? Do we demonstrate that he is the priority in our lives? So this lad was in the right place. He had the right priorities. But then lastly tonight, I want you to notice he yielded to the Lord's purpose. He yielded to the Lord's purpose. Let's go back to John chapter 6. We're done in 1 Kings now, so we can move back to John chapter 6. And then let's look at one verse, verse 11. And Jesus took the loaves. So you and I both know Jesus didn't take them forcibly. He didn't wrangle them from the boy. Jesus set his hands out like this, and the lad gave them to him. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks unto the Father, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Listen, it wasn't rationed, it was handed out, and they could eat all they wanted. It was an all-you-can-eat bread and fish buffet. Golden Corral never had such a buffet. Although they have pretty good buffets. I'd like to get to one. This young boy yielded. He didn't resist the Lord. He didn't disobey the Lord. He didn't fight against the Lord. He yielded. You know, it's something beautiful about the innocence of a child. Children are so trusting and they're so yielding, aren't they? Yeah, my little grandsons run around the house with their little bags of snacks, and I go, "Ooh, give Papa one." And they'll run over and they'll put it in my mouth. And I'll crunch it up and say, "Give Papa another one." No, I don't do that. But they're so yielding, aren't they? Children are so giving. They're so yielding. This young boy yielded to the Lord's purpose. The lad, he didn't take the short look. He didn't just look at what this food could do for him. He recognized the big picture. He saw the 5,000 that could be fed with the food he had in his hands. That's right. With just the little bit of food he had faith to believe that the Lord could feed everyone with such a small gift. He didn't try to apply human reasoning. He just simply said, "Take it, Lord, and use it as you will." Little is much when God is in it. Today we've looked at and seen what God can do with very little. He doesn't need to use men of renown. He doesn't need to use the mighty. He doesn't need to use the powerful. He can take a little maid, and he can use her contentment, and he can use her compassion, and he can use her commitment. He can take a small lad who has but 5 little buns and 2 small fishes, a small lad who is in the right place, who had the right priorities, and is yielded to God and his purposes. And he can bring great glory and honor to his name. He can feed thousands. He can heal multitudes. Because little is much when God is in it. Just imagine for a moment, just imagine what could be done in this area if all of us gave everything we have to the Lord. Like this little girl, like this little boy. If we put away all of our ambitions, and we put away all of our the things that we are striving to achieve and accomplish in this temporal life, which is here today and gone tomorrow, if we take our focus off of all of those things. And if we put our focus and our hearts and minds, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto thee." Just imagine what could be done in this area if God's children would focus their hearts and minds on Him, make Him the priority in their life, and give everything to the Lord. And say, take it, Lord, it's yours. Do with me as you will. But we're too worried. We're too worried about our houses. We're too worried about our 401ks and our IRAs. My wife and I, we don't have any numbers or letters. We have just what we have. We have just what the Lord gives us. But little is much when God is in it. Can't take any of it with you anyway, can you? Huh? Paul said we brought nothing into this world, and it's pretty certain we're taking nothing out with us. Do you want to stand before the Lord one day and He shows you what could have been? If He says, let me just show you what would have happened if you would have been in the right place, if you'd have had the right priorities, if you would have yielded to my purpose. Let me just show you what could have been done through you. I don't know about you, but I don't want to have to face that moment. Now, I'm far from perfect, and I would never stand up here and tell you I've arrived at anything. Before I preached this message to you, I preached it to myself. I go for a walk every day at work. I go for a one-hour walk every day, and as I walk for the last several weeks, I've been preaching this message to myself over and over in my mind. People, I'm sure, stare out windows and look at, hey, here comes the crazy guy again. He's talking to himself. Look at him down there. And sometimes I get kind of excited. The other day I came up on some guy who was taking a nap behind a big storage box and scared him half to death. He scared me pretty bad, too. He said, you talking to yourself? I said, yeah, I was preaching. He just looked at me and I looked at him. I said, please don't kill me. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, we truly have so little to offer you, but then you don't need a lot. You were able to heal Naaman and turn an entire nation around because one little girl was willing to give you what she had, which was nothing. You fed 5,000 people with a little boy's lunch. And it wasn't because of what they had, it was because they were willing to give it away. They were willing to give it to you. And Father, I pray tonight that you would take us such as we are. I pray that we would yield ourselves to you, that we would offer to you all that you've given to us. And Father, we know that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And we can have the confidence to know that once we depart this life, we will have the joys and rewards of Christ. But use us now. Help us. Help us to have the courage and the faith to make that step in our lives, to make those decisions. Bless us. Bless this church and this work and this area. There are so many people need to be saved. Help us to reach them. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and glory for all things, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this presentation of the Berean Baptist Church of Roanoke Park, California. If you would like further information about our church, please feel free to call us at area code 707-584-7275 or write to us at Berean Baptist Church, 6298 Country Club Drive, Roanoke Park, California, 94928. Additionally, you may visit us on the World Wide Web at www.bebaptist.org.